Avirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 4, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14, Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes. Page 36. Verse 214, 159 to 161. Srila Shrub Damodar continued, "The gopis can be divided into left wing, Vama, and a right wing, Dakshina. Both wings induce Krishna to taste transcendental mellows by various manifestations of ecstatic love. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the chief. She is a jewel mine of ecstatic love and the source of all purified transcendental conjugal mellows. Radharani is grown up and her character is equipoised, sama. She is always deeply absorbed in ecstatic love and always feeling in the mood of a left-wing gopi, Vama." Srila Prabhupada. The left wing and white wing of the gopis has been explained by Rupa Goswami in his Ujjwala Nilamani, Shaki Prakarana 26 and 32. The left wing is described in this way: Mana grahe sadayo yukta tach chai tilye cha kopana abhedya nayake praya krura Vameti kirtyate. A gopi who is always eager to be jealously angered, who is very enthusiastic for that position, who immediately becomes angry when defeated, who is never under the control of the hero, and who always opposes him is called a vama, or left-wing gopi. Srila Rupa Goswami describes the right-wing gopis in this way: Asha hya mana nirbandhe nayake yukta vadini samabhis tena bhedyacha dakshina pari kirtita. A gopi who cannot tolerate womanly anger, who speaks suitable words to the hero, and who is satisfied by his sweet words is called a dakshina, or a right wing gopi. 214, 162, 167. Srila Shrub Damodar Goswami continued, "Because she is a left-wing gopari, her womanly anger is always awakened, but Krishna derives transcendental bliss from her activities. The progress of loving affairs between a young boy and a young girl is by nature crooked, like the movement of a snake. Because of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and girl: anger with a cause and anger without a cause." Footnote 11. This is a quotation from Srila Rupa Goswami's Ujjwala Nilamani, Sringara Beda Prakarana 102. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these talks, his ocean of transcendental bliss increased. He therefore told Srub Damodar, "Go on speaking, go on speaking." And thus Srub Damodar continued, "Srimati Radharani's love is a highly advanced ecstatic, a highly advanced ecstasy, Adhirudha Mahabhav. All her feelings are completely pure and devoid of material tinge. Indeed, her dealings are 10 times purer than gold. As soon as Radharani gets a chance to see Krishna, her body is suddenly decorated with various ecstatic ornaments. The transcendental ornaments of Srimati Radharani's body include the 8 sattvikas, or transcendental symptoms, the 33 vyavichari bhavas, beginning with harsha, or jubilation in natural love, and the 20 bhavas, or ecstatic and the 20 bhavas, or ecstatic emotional ornaments." Srila Prabhupada. The 33 vyavichari bhavas, bodily symptoms manifest in ecstatic love, are as follows: 1. Nirveda, indifference. 2. Vishada, moroseness. 3. Dainya, meekness. 4. Glani, the feeling that one is in a faulty position. 5. Shrama, fatigue. 6. Mada, madness. 7. Garva, pride. 8. Shankha, doubt. 9. Trasha, shock. 10. Avega, intense emotion. 11. Unmada, craziness. 12. Apasmara, forgetfulness. 13. Vyadi, disease. 14. Moha, bewilderment. 15. Mriti, death. 16. Alasya, laziness. 17. Jarya, invalidity. 18. Vrida, shame. 19. Avahita, concealment. 20. Smriti, remembrance. 21. Vitarka, argument. 22. Chinta, contemplation. 23. Mati, attention. 24. Dhriti, forbearance. 25. Harsha, jubilation. 26. Autsukya, eagerness. 27. Augriya, violence. 28. Amarsha, anger. 29. Asuya, jealousy. 30. Chapalya, impudence. 31. Nidra, sleep. 32. Shupti, deep sleep. And 33. Prabodha, awakening. Udriti. The 8 ecstatic symptoms, sattvikas, are the state of being stunned, stumba, perspiration, sveda, standing of the bodily hairs on end, romancha, faltering of the voice, svara beda, trembling, vipatu or kampa, fading of the body's color, vaivarnya, tears, ashru, and devastation, pralaya. Antyalila 14:99. Perform. The word sudipta sattvika is explained as follows by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu mentions 8 kinds of transcendental transformations in the bodies of advanced devotees. These are sometimes checked by the devotee, and there are 2 stages of such checking, technically known as domayita and jwalita. The domayita, smoking stage, is exhibited only when 1 or 2 transformations are slightly present, and it is not possible to conceal them. When more than 2 or 3 transcendental transformations are manifest, and it is still possible to conceal them, although with great difficulty, that stage is called jwalita, lighted. When 4 or 5 symptoms are exhibited, the dipta, blazing stage, has been reached. When 5, 6, or all 8 symptoms are simultaneously manifest, that position is called udipta, inflamed. And when all 8 symptoms are multiplied 1,000 times and are all visible at once, the devotee is in sudipta, intensely inflamed stage. Madhya Lila 6:12, purport. The 20 different moods, bhavas, headed by Kila Kinchana, are described as follows. First, in connection with the body, there are bhava, ecstasy, hava, gestures, and hela, negligence. Oh, that's from this. Okay. In relation to the self, there are soba, beauty, kanti, luster, deepti, brilliance, madhurya, sweetness, pragalbata, impudence, audarya, magnanimity, and dharya, patience. In relation to nature, there are lila, pastimes, vilasa, enjoyment, vichitti, breaking off, and vibhrama, puzzlement. There are no English equivalents for the words kila kinchana, motayita, and kutamita. Madhya Lila 8:175, purport. Footnote 12. Note, although there are only 17 moods listed in this particular purport, the other 3 are listed and elaborated upon in upcoming verses.
So all these moods and symptoms manifest based on exchanges with Krishna, thinking about Krishna, anticipating with Krishna. So based on the situation, 1 or 2 or 3 of these symptoms will occur.
Yeah, or more. Says, you know, of the sattvika, you can get all 8 at once. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it's just a matter, that's what it's mainly. It's smoking, then there's 1 or 2, then something like that. Then like that, then it's lit, then it's more, and like this. So you'll have the symptoms being manifest, then there's the intensity. Because intensity is always a consideration, because that's what's bringing up the whole point, is that there is, you know, the taste and this and that, but as it goes up, it's intense. So bhava means now it's intense. Prema means it's more intense. So each time it goes up, it's more intense.
So what is it that fuels the intensity?
Krishna. I mean, he's the Vishaya. It's just always just being absorbed in Krishna. So it's not that there's something, it's not that there's something external to Krishna. It's that it's the relationship with Krishna. Because we're used to that it's something, you know, creates the situation. But for on the transcendental platform, these things only enhance. You know, it's just like here, you create a very nice atmosphere, and then it can generate a romantic mood. But there, it's just the two of them, that's the romantic mood. Then you add anything to it, it just makes it more. You know, it'd be just like, let's say, I have a nice environment. Let's say I have a, you know, really fancy restaurant. It doesn't necessarily guarantee good food. Right? It's not that... That the way the tables are set up and everything and the silverware and the way the waiters are dressed and all this and the music and the lights, that makes the food better. Right? It's something that supports. If the food is nice, then these things add to it. But if the food's not nice, then who cares? You know, you can sit at home and turn the lights down or something.
That's why you have those street corner, you know. Little 2 square meter
fruit
place, and
it's a queue. Yeah, yes, because it's about it. So what we're saying here is we're thinking, oh, if I arrange this, then everything else will come. But no, if you have the essence, then it you get the experience, and then back. So the spiritual is about Krishna. Does that make sense? Wrestling. Is it potato chips?
Who's taking what now?
So, like that, everyone's saying, what's in the bag?
There's a special sound of, you know...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's just everywhere. Just you ripple with it, everybody's like, huh?
Oh, you're talking about food.
Yeah, yeah. Even the animals, huh? No, they're all checking it out, dude. You know, there's a good chance that the bags don't have to sound like that, but they engineered it over years because they found that's what gets everyone's attention. You know, there's a good chance it's like that because. You know, because you get out a bag of kettle chips, nobody cares. You know, because it's in the wrong bag, right? Yes.
Vaidmani also mentions about this 20 different modes as a
feminine dress.
Grace.
Oh, those are the feminine graces. Okay. Because they're separate. Oh yeah, the thing's not there. Oh no, it's there. It's just not.
Oh, it's not.
It's not connected in. There we go. Yeah. See, even something like this, it has its, you know, how you say, dangers. Okay, so you have all these static symptoms, then you have these feminine graces.
Bhava, Hava, and Hela are the main.
Yeah, because they're the physical that you can see. Yeah, because I always remember the Hela. And then when going through the Vyabhicharis, I didn't see it in the list, and I was wondering why it's not. And so it's in this, it's in the 20 different moods. Because that says neglect, negligence. Because Hela, it's also mentioned another place where the head goes like this.
It's more intense one.
Yeah, Hava is gestures is like this, but Hela is kind of like what, you know. It somehow or another it goes all.
Bhava is like first what you feel in the mind, and Hava is it expressed in terms of gesture, and Hela is like become more dramatic.
Yeah, more dramatic, and then all the neglect and all these things like that. It's just the stages, yeah. we were somewhere, but then...
Situational and the mood.
Oh, yes, so the situation. So we're thinking that if we create the situation, it's automatic. I mean, that's how advertisement works, that's how everything works. You know, you go to this place, it'll be fabulous and all that. And you might go once or twice and it's really nice, but after a while, then it's not as nice because the situation doesn't actually create it. You know, there's the idea in the mind that if I have this, I'll be happy. So when you get it, then there's we call that happiness. But after a while, it can't produce that, and you have to look for something else. So the spiritual world is the opposite. It's just Radha and Krishna, they themselves, they're the ashray and vishray, so they're everything's created there. And then all these other things just add to it and give others so that they can, you know, it'd be just like... You can play the string and you get the nice note, but when you put the sympathetic strings, then it adds something. Because they're always delayed. You hit the main note, and then that will come after. It like gives a little sparkle, a little brilliance. It's not at the same time, they're not simultaneous. You play, then you hear, it's like an echo. And if it's really tuned, one musician was showing me that it's not just the same note, but it's also the fifth. You know, the fifth up, the fourth down, like these things, that they'll also go. And he was showing me. If you do it properly, then you'll see the same note will be there, any octaves of that will be, but also in the fifth, since there's some other notes, that they'll be there very lightly. So it creates this whole environment. So we just hear the one note, mainly one note playing, but if you check carefully, in the background there's all these other notes. So they're there to help. That's the whole point. So that then assists the atmosphere. So each is the main, and then the Kriya and Jnana are supporting. Well, we're used to, if you have the Jnana and the Kriya, then we have it all. And for some people, they think if they just have the Jnana, that's it. You know, it'll just automatically do all the work.
Yeah, we actually look at it in a reverse order.
Yes.
We have Kriya and Jnana. We think automatically Icha will manifest.
Yes, yes.
But actually, if we have Icha, then Kriya and Jnana following that, they will unfold automatically.
Yes, they will unfold.
That's completely.
That's the point, because when we turn from Krishna, then our view is actually backwards. So we come into the Ajnana Shakti. So one of the symptoms of ignorance is that what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is perceived as right. So it's just opposite. It just automatically goes. Taking you and going and eating somewhere else. Too much attention here like that. I'll go eat over there. We'll still hear the rustling of the bag. So it's opposite. That's the problem. Is we're so used to, you know, everything's inductive, everything's this and that, when actually it only works deductively. So even if by inductive someone comes up and follows the path given by the deductive, only then it works. Though they've come to it through the inductive, and because of that they don't actually learn. Or even if they do learn something, then it'll only cover part of it, because there's so many aspects. So they've caught something. They've observed something. By their samskaras, they can relate to something. And it doesn't necessarily address everybody. And someone else has different, and they'll see this is missing. Then they'll look for that. And when they find that, because for them, their samskaras are important, they'll say, oh, this is the real thing. But now they're missing the stuff that the previous one had offered. And it takes a while before people notice that. You know, because by habit, you're going to do it. If you've been trained in a particular way, then even you change certain things, you're still going to follow those old habits.
Yes.
So you're still going to get something from there and whatever's the new. So it looks like it's complete.
Yes.
But with time, you start giving up, and the next generations, they definitely don't do what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So now they only have the new part. You know, it's just like, you know, just a gross example. If you're doing something that's giving 50%, you know, 50% is missing, then the other group's going to bring up that 50%. So now in the beginning, you already have that 50%. You add in this, it looks like it's 100%. But with time, because you focus on the other one, this disappears. Then the next generation, this is gone. They only have this. They think, oh, this is great. Then someone shows something's missing. And then it goes back that way. That's why you always see this pendulum swing. You know, it's just like, you know, governments. It's, everyone votes in the conservative. You know, they're going to solid in that. And it doesn't satisfy. Then after a few, then they vote in the liberals. Then it goes like that. And then it swings back to the conservative. And the liberals just keeps going. Everything's like that. Because it's not complete. Because we're approaching it because of the inductive. This opposite, because of avidya.
So, from the material platform, it's experimental.
Yes.
And from the spiritual platform, it's experiencing.
Yes, but it's science, because it's taught. These the 64 arts are taught. You know, you may learn it a little quicker than here because you don't have all the different problems with, you know, the Manda Sumanda Matayo problem, you know, like that. But everything's taught, Lalita is constantly teaching Radharani techniques of the left-wing gopi. So it's always something to develop and something to, like this, because there's newer and newer flavors. It's unlimited, so then various flavors are coming up at different times to expand Krishna's pleasure. So it's not like here where we take it that spontaneous just means whatever I feel like. There it's that the spontaneous means that they're absorbed in that, and they're inspired in that. And then they follow the path that it's leading with. Means the mood, if a particular mood's going on, you do what supports the mood. You know, it's just like sometimes you're doing something and that conversation's going up and everyone's getting excited and someone gets excited and says something that doesn't match at all. And it's just bang, the mood's gone. And everyone, hey, why'd you say that? And, I don't know, I just it turns into another mood. No? Yeah, so that's the thing, is they follow that because there's no attachments in that. It's about Krishna and Radharani. Therefore, what's going to follow that mood, that's what they go with.
Right, so, again, materially speaking, spontaneity can be completely whimsical. There's no spiritual platform, it's not.
It's not whimsical. Here, it's only whimsical, because what's the basis? You know, if it's got some tradition and all that, that's there. But then it's still... it will keep you in the material world. But that's the advantage of the tradition. One knows it and all that. Now if you can use that for Krishna. Means, in other words, if you've learned sattvic traditions and all that, you can use those very nicely in Krishna's service. But one always has to remember, as you know, the conversation began, it's not about the external elements, the supporting. It's about the primary. And then those match it. Right? You know, it's just like, let us say, okay, we're going to arrange for dinner. Okay? I turned to the friend, but please, arrange the, you know, the whole dinner arrangement and all that. Can they arrange? They don't know who's coming, what is dinner, what's the time, how many people, nothing. Right? So that all those things. So when that's there, then we know, okay, this particular group of people are going to be there. And so therefore then, and this is the occasion. So therefore this is the menu, then this is the arrangements, and this is this, and it all proceeds from there. So when it's all about Radha and Krishna's, their pleasure and happiness, then everything just proceeds from that. So that's why it's a science, but it's spontaneous. And that this is, you know, this is a chinta beta beta tattva. People just don't catch that. Because the material world, spontaneity means whimsical. And so therefore, you know, and feeling, you know, Bob, oh, I feel like, oh, I want to do this. And then that's it. But it's not scientific. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that the spiritual is, it's totally scientific, but at the same time, it's totally spontaneous. Because there's a taste in there. You know, it's just like, if you're eating a particular cuisine, then, and it has many items, there's certain ways you move through that, what you combine, what you eat first, what you eat after, and everything like that. You know? And then it gives the proper experience. But if you don't do that, then you're going to end up, it's not going to be that great. So that's the thing, is that it It has its natural point. And Prabhupada makes the point, Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point, is that science means it's applied. So we say the science of Krishna consciousness, we mean it will be applied. You apply this, then that's where you get, because then it takes on its qualities. Because otherwise, knowledge that's not applied is just knowledge. So only with some of it, now it's applied. And then what does that give? That gives the taste, Ladini.
Maharaj, another aspect of spontaneity on the metro platform is unpredictability.
Unpredictability?
Yes, yeah, it's unpredictable. People come up with stuff like out of the blue. You know, so is unpredictability also considered?
I'm just thinking, is that from the Sakura, so what is Sakura blue?
Actually,
yeah, so out of that blue, or something.
Out of the blue. So, is unpredictability also?
But Krishna is sacred. Right? He's original blue. Right?
Is it also considered in rasa something unpredictable?
Means there's a natural how it's good. Means the point is that. If you look at it, because we have here is Krishna is sarva mugdata and sarvagya. So when he's dealing basically you could say with opulences, especially Vaikuntha, it's sarvagya. He's God. He knows everything. And then his sweetness is mugdata, means he doesn't know. He's just as it's happening, because yoga maya arranges it. But the point is this yoga maya knows his mood and arranges. Like if he goes out and sees, you know, that this particular arrangement, this moon, you know, in this kind of arrangement, what's that kind of moon perfect for? Right? It's not too hot, it's not too cold, you know, the moon's full, you know, so you can be outside and it's very pleasant, like this, and so then he can have the rasa dance. So he thinks like that. So the point is yoga maya therefore arranges everything like that. So you always see is that they always know what will please Krishna. So that's why we don't try that. We don't think, oh, well, you know, I'll do something far off. No, they know how to please Krishna. Sri Radharani, her associates, you know, Yogamaya, they know how to please Krishna. Because otherwise, Neela is also known as Leela. Leela, because she arranges the pastime. Because pastimes are arranged in a situation. So you do have the element that the situation is where everything's coming out. But that situation is matching the mood. So you have Vrindavan. That means all situations are there. Now, which one will be brought out by Leela? That's then the one is following Krishna's mood. Because he has the mood. How is it carried out? His energies. So who's going to know that? His Sarup Shaktis. And so, therefore, the Mugdata Sarup Shakti is going to be Radharani. The Sarvagya, Sarup Shakti is going to be Yogamaya. And so she's going to arrange it all. And so her happiness is seeing the divine couple happy. Confirmed, see? No?
On the Vedic platform, we follow rules and you
yes.
can learn spontaneity. We see that space for innovation. And
yes, changing. Innovation, the individuality is there. It's not a really understood system, because how many people really, it means that if you look in the modern, how many people really learn something practical? It means you go to school, I mean, basically nothing in school is ever practical in the modern, at least in the you know, how you say, the state-sponsored education, like that. You know, they try to make it relevant and this and that, but, I mean, what do you actually use? So when you go to something more specialized, then you're learning something practical. But otherwise, it's not. So we're not used to something being practical. You know, we're just not used to, you learn something that's applied. Like, let's say you go to medical school. What's it for? You're going to do medicine. But if you go to the state school, what are you going to do? Right? You're going to get an office job or something like that. And that office job, how long does it take to learn that? Literally 2 to 3 weeks. So you could have saved 20 years of school and just gone there, you know, whenever you decided to quit playing at 10 or 12 and learn the job and do it. Means at 12 you know the language that basically all adults use in the common language. Specialized, they'll know more. That's why you see books are 12 plus. You know, games are 12 plus.
Yes.
Means, you know, so the adults are thinking, we're adults, but a 12-year-old could do the exact same thing. You know? So we're not used to that there's this science and that you do. So this idea that you practice something, you know, because there's always the thing, oh, you can't learn things by rote. You know, we went to, you know, bring out the intellectual thing in the children and it stops their thing. But somehow or another, that's strange. In the East, in classical music, learning things by rote, they can improvise, you know, all day. And it means, they always mention that every time they play a raga, they never play it the same twice. You know, some main elements will be there because that's the raga, but how they'll put it together, what they do, every performance is different. And in the West, then you have like the jazz. You learn that, you know, but you also learn all this stuff and then you can do it. You know, or art, like Picasso, you know. He knows classical, painting. Now he can do his unique things, you know. Strange girls at the beach and stuff like that. You know, is that, so that's the thing, it's just not well known. And so people don't know. So for them, being spontaneous, it's just whimsical. I felt like it, too. You know? And so it doesn't have any rhyme or reason. But in rasa, it means it's spontaneous, so it's just following the mood of the ecstatic mood that's there. But at the same time, is you can document it as a science. And therefore you have Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you have Ujjwala Nilamani. They are documenting that. You know, then what, Preeti Sandarbha, they'll be documenting. Because one moves into another. You don't have it just going all over the place. It naturally flows and through. And that, because we have centuries, and they come in because they're opposite. And then that comes in, and because of that, it takes it in a new direction. Right. So, yeah, so that's the point, is that when we learn the Vaidhi, but it's not about the Vaidhi itself. It's about that you are regulating your life, bringing it in line with Krishna to please Krishna. That's the main thing. And the forms, those are the same forms in spontaneous devotional service, you know, in Vaidhi Bhakti, in Sadhana Bhakti. It's still the same activities. Just you want to chant. You want to, you know, it's like I remember seeing before is that whenever there'd be, you know, devotees that get together for a festival or stuff like that. So you always have service and this and that. When you don't, immediately they would sit down and start a kirtan, a bhajan, you know, some reading, you know, stuff that you wanted to do that you never really have time for. It just automatically happened. Anywhere. So I remember seeing devotees, you know, some are sitting over here doing one thing, and others are over there doing another, somewhere else, you know, in another place, you know, something different. And you know, you're not involved, you see something, oh, the bhajan's going, or there's a reading here, and whatever you like, you go to. You know? So that, you could say, that's the spontaneous. They wanted to do those things. Because spontaneous means it's without intellectualizing on it.
I remember one time I was dressing Radha Krishna in Melbourne, and Prabhupada was dressing Jagannath. And in the courtyard of Melbourne Temple, they grew a lot of jasmine. And we looked at each other and thought, why don't we just do something crazy? And we went to prune all the jasmine, put them in big black garbage bags, dragged them onto the altar, and literally covered the altars and the deities with jasmine. You could only see the face. In Kroma, he was like, what's going on in there? What's going on? Chill out. What's going on? So we closed the altar at 7 o'clock, reading the deities. He was looking, who said you could do this? This is not Vrindavan.
And then somebody comes and takes them and says, actually.
I mean, the whole altar was smelling so nice. It's just something spontaneous.
Yeah. But it is the thing, is that's the tradition that flowers and this and that are there, because the five main things liked by Krishna, one of them is the flowers. Like that. So it has the backing. Like that. You know, if you'd gone out and gotten, like spinny lights or something and put them up like that, now that would be more whimsy.
Well, I'll tell you something.
That was another time.
One time in Vrindavan during the class, I know someone was giving the class, and Ahindra Prabhu was sitting where he normally sits for kirtan, but he was going to the class. And they opened the curtain that they do during the class, you know, like 8 a.m. And Ahindra looks at Krishna Bhavana and goes, "Stop the class!" The pujari had put, you know, Krishna standing with a flute like this, you remove the flute, you put a conch shell and blew it. But Krishna was blowing the conch. He goes, "Rasa Bhas, stop this!"
See, you have to be careful. Yeah, good. Yeah. 2.14.168. Srila Srupa Damodar continued. Some of the symptoms critically explained in the following verses are Akila Kinchit, Kuta Mita, Vilasa, Lalita, Vivoka, Mota Ita, Maugya, and Chakita. Srila Prabhupada, from the word for word. Kila Kinchita, a particular type of ecstatic ornament manifest at the time of seeing Krishna. Kutamita, the symptoms explained in verse 197. Okay. Okay, 197. The symptoms explained in verse 234. Vilasa, the symptoms explained in verse 187. Here it is. Lalita, the symptom explained in verse 192. Vivoka, neglecting the presentation given by the hero. Motaita, awakening of lusty desires by the remembrance and words of the hero. Ara, and Maugya, assuming the position of not knowing things, although everything is known. So that's where the Amugdata comes from, right? Chakita. A position in which the heroine appears very much afraid, although she is not at all afraid. 2.14.169.173. Srila Srupa Damodar continued. When Srimati Radharani... Oops. You're not going to do well up here. When Srimati Radharani's body manifested the ornaments of many ecstatic symptoms, the ocean of Krishna's happiness immediately displays transcendental waves. Now here a description of different ecstasies, beginning with Kila Kinchita. With these ecstatic ornaments, Srimati Radharani enchants the mind of Krishna. When Sri Krishna sees Srimati Radharani and wants to touch her body, he prohibits her from going to the spot where one can cross the river Jamuna. Approaching her, Krishna prohibits Srimati Radharani from picking flowers. He may also touch her in front of her friends. At such times, the ecstatic symptoms of Kila Kinchita are awakened. First, there is jubilation and ecstatic love, which is the root cause of these symptoms. Srila Prabhupada. Whenever Srimati Radharani leaves her house, she is always well-dressed and attractive. It is her womanly nature to attract Sri Krishna's attention. And upon seeing her so attractively dressed, Sri Krishna desires to touch her body. The Lord then finds some fault in her and prohibits her from going to a river crossing and stops her from picking flowers. Such are the pastimes between Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Being a cowherd girl, Srimati Radharani regularly carries milk in a container and often goes to sell the milk on the other side of the Jamuna. To cross the river, she has to pay the boatman, and the spot where the boatman collects his fares is called the Dhanagati. Lord Sri Krishna stops her from going, telling her, first you have to pay the fee, then you will be allowed to go. This pastime is called Dana Keli Lila. Similarly, if Srimati Radharani wants to pick a flower, Sri Krishna claims to be the garden's proprietor and prohibits her. This pastime is called Kila Kinchita. Radharani's shyness arises due to Sri Krishna's prohibitions. And ecstatic loving bodily symptoms called the Kila Kinchita Bhava are manifest at this time. These ecstatic symptoms are explained in the following verse, which is from Srila Rupa Goswami's Ujjwala Nilamani, Anubhava Prakarna 39, 214-174-179. Srila Sudamana Goswami continued, pride, ambition, weeping, smiling, envy, fear, and anger are the seven ecstatic loving symptoms manifest by a jubilant shrinking away. And these symptoms are called Kila Kinchita Bhava. There are seven other transcendental ecstatic symptoms, and when they combine in the platform of jubilation, the combination is called Mahabhava. The seven combined ingredients of Mahabhava are pride, ambition, fear, dry artificial crying, anger, envy, and mild smiling. There are eight symptoms of ecstatic love on the platform of transcendental jubilation, and when they are combined and tasted by Krishna, the Lord's mind is completely satisfied. Indeed, they are compared to a combination of yogurt, candy, means the rock candy, the sugar candy, ghee, honey, black pepper, camphor, and cardamom, which when mixed together are very tasty and sweet. Have you ever tried mixing those? No?
Rock candy?
Yogurt, rock candy, ghee, honey, black pepper, camphor, and cardamom.
It's very Indian taste.
Yeah? You've tried it?
Maybe.
Or are you just thinking about it? Huh?
Not with ghee.
No, ghee. Is it mentioned ghee?
Ghee.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Right here, ghee.
Oh.
Yeah, you'd have to melt the ghee. But you'd also you'd use sweet ghee for this.
No.
You wouldn't use the sour ghee.
Did you try?
No, no. I'm just thinking. It's always one of those things you think, we'll make this, and then you never do.
Sounds like a sour dressing.
Yeah. And what is it? What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then the eighth one would be rocket, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Panchamrita, we use. I think it's called panchamrita. We use milk also. Milk, yogurt, ghee, honey.
Black pepper.
Like that, but we don't have the black pepper, the camphor, the cardamom. Like that, but the yogurt, the candy, the ghee, and honey, that we have. So, but now is it you put in these, because it's giving all these spices, because you're having the pride, ambition, weeping, smiling, envy, fear, and anger. They're all happening at once. You know, so that's the...
Seems like it's a matter of proportions.
Of course.
If we want to prepare it, we really have to know what's the proportion. Otherwise, it's going to be rasa bas.
Camphor is the smallest amount.
Yeah, camphor, black pepper, light of that. You know, your
honey.
The honey would have to match the ghee. The candy will have to match the yogurt. You know, and those that balance those. You know. So then.
Have you ever tried?
No. That's what I'm saying. It's always, you read it and you think, we're going to make this, and we never do. So.
Put the arrow in.
Put the arrow. What's this for? Yes. Okay. So when mixed together are very tasty and sweet. Lord Sri Krishna is thousands upon thousands of times more satisfied when he sees Srimati Radharani's face light up with this combination of ecstatic love than he is by direct union with her. Right, because so these moods and that, the tasting the moods are the main thing. Because the secondary, the samvid aspects, you know, those are there just to enhance that. You know, it's just like Krishna, then it will stop her from going anywhere. And so that's there just to create this. Right? It's not about these supporting elements, like you mentioned, the jnana and kriya aspects, or the samvid and sandini. They're there to support. And so then they add and it becomes all perfectly mixed together. But the whole, the emphasis is always the Lardini, that taste. So.
Somebody asked me, it's not really related, but Gopastami.
Oh.
This past time when Radharani and the girls, they dress as boys,
mm-hmm.
Gopas, and then also on the altar they show the old speech. Srimati Radharani, what's the source of it?
But
is there any lila like that, or it's something specific or a general mood?
It's there. I think the acharyas talk about it. I mean, you always have that one, that famous one where, I think it's Subal,
yes.
and Radharani, mm-hmm. and that they change clothes.
Mm-hmm.
As I guess, I'm not sure. Subal looks like Radharani,
yes.
something. Yeah. So then they change clothes, and so then she goes off to meet Krishna, and then Subal sticks around so that you know, but stays in the distance so people think Radharani's here. And so you do have things that come up, that, you know, whether it's a major aspect, but it's come up and it's been appreciated, and so it's there. But
it's like a traditional one and something.
Yeah, it's something that's become like that practice here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But, you know, other places may or may not appreciate it. But, you know, it has to be understood is that it's the individuals that are there, the people and things that... So that's the whole thing, is that you see in these major holy places, and that they may do things that you won't find in other temples. You know, how they dress the deities. Like in Udupi, then they're always doing all different kinds of dresses for Krishna there, but you won't see that in any other temple. You know, it's only in Udupi. You know, like that. The other Madhva temples, you don't see that. And so you're going to have that uniqueness that different temples are going to do some have some special pujas and all that. And so as long as it's backed by the scriptures, it's fine. But one has to understand is that, yes, it won't go for everybody, but if you're trying to make it that nobody can have anything spontaneous, that you have to take the lowest common denominator, that you're looking at it from, you know, the point that, you know, people can make mistakes and all that and do this, but then where's the training? If we're an educational institution, we should be training people so they know what's proper and what's not. But just to make it from a bureaucratic point that it's just what's going to be the easiest to manage, it's not strong enough. And you won't have the variety, uniqueness, and all that. That's why then different places have different festivals. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have, what's it, Navajyada Kshetra? Is that how you say it? You know, the German farm where Nrisimhadev is? So now because there's a Nrisimhadev there, does that mean now every temple should have a big Nrisimhadev and have it? No. It, you know, in Europe, when it's Nrisimha Tradisi, then people go there. You know, when it's Radhastami or something like that, they go to Hungary. When it's, you know, something, they go to Rath Yatra, then they'll go, you know, to London or somewhere, you know, like this. And so you have these uniquenesses that are there. So one has to be very, very careful to see what's the source. Have people just made it up, or is it coming from a background and you have senior devotees involved? And so then making that distinction, then you can actually make a proper decision. Otherwise, then, you know, yeah.
This was the question that Krishna asked Nanda Baba when they prepared Indra Puja. He actually pointed... that is it a tradition or is it mentioned in the scripture? What is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, with Karma Mimamsa, he just...
Yes. No, so you have to look at it very carefully. So there is going to be uniqueness and individuality in temples and how they dress and do things. So you have a general thing, but that's the 16 items, how many artiks, how many offerings, the cleanliness standards, the things on time. You know, this basic, you know, Prabhupada gave us the Kaishore worship, so that kind of dress and everything. You know, we don't do the balya and stuff like that, you know, so we do the Kaishore. And so these are kind of aspects you have, and then you go, and then you have the tradition. So what was there, what was going on, and all these things, and so that works very nicely. And then if certain uniqueness there, if it can be based on, then it's fine, you know. Difficulty comes is when you always have this all or nothing. You know, everybody gets, because even if everybody gets into it, how long will they be into it? They'll do it for 1 year, 2 years, three, and then it's gone. You know, but then other places, it'll stay. You know, and if something's actually wrong, you go and correct it through education. Then it works. Like that. So it does have a background, a basis. Now, you know, whatever's there, then you know, you are going to be careful on these things. You know. So that's the thing. You want to be very careful how it's done. It can't be just, you just decide on doing it. It has to have that proper planning and stuff. You know, so there'd be things. Like I think one time it was, they had the small Radhakrishna, I think, in New York. And one time the devotee addressed and all that. Then, you know, you have the bottom step, or, you know, the steps, and then on the top step they sit there. So they had decided to put Krishna on one side and Radharani on the other, because it just made this very nice balance and some design, and Krishna and Vada, no, they're always together.
Devotees do this with Gaurikai quite often. You're great over there.
Yeah, and then you take your arm and put it through their arm, and then to walk them down the steps outside into the middle of the street, and says, you look so fabulous right here. And then you walk back in the temple. So, yeah, so many things are. So, therefore, there are things that are there. So you have to be able to discern. It means if we only do it at the high side, if you only consider the untrained, and if people generally in an area aren't trained, then so you have to consider that. But if you have those who are trained, and you don't consider them, you will have problems. Because, you know, intelligence and culture will always triumph over, you know, how you say, lack of these things. In the end. You know, because it's a personal, the movement's personal. And so these things have to be considered. And so unless you have that respect, unless you, everything's just on a piece of paper and that, and that's all, then one will have great difficulty. You know, but there's always this problem. If it's here, then it has to be everywhere the same. No, you have your basic principles, that's the same everywhere. And if one place they can do more, then why not? You know, otherwise, then we should make a rule: no one should, you know, study past third grade. And then, you know, that everybody can do that. But, you know, how are you all? Yeah. So, and these questions are always going to come up as a make it or break it of everything. But it's kind of like why they should worry about it. You know. You're not dressing the deities. You're not in charge of the deities. So you go. You see, it's nice. And then you take darshan and you come back. And the next day you come, you won't see that. You know? Otherwise, it's made it too much into something. And so that kind of gossip and all that's not so worthwhile. You know? It's just like, if it's important, it would be discussed all year. But it only comes up right at, I remember, it's always Janmashtami. There'd be the thing of you know, what time you do things. You know, there's always an argument over that. You know, what happens at midnight? Is the Abhishek at midnight? Is the Artik at midnight? Is Prashadam at midnight? You know? That, or is going to bed at midnight. You know, so then, and but no one will say anything until when you're doing it, and only then everybody will come out of the woodwork, and it's a riot and all that, and you can't do anything, and then the next day they all disappear back into the woodwork, only to come out next year at the same time. You know, it's like, what do you call it? Henny Penny? You know that story? Story of Henny Penny. So there was this the personality, a chicken, right, named Henny Penny. And she was telling all the other animals and all that. Then, okay, you know, so it's the time of the year. So, you know, who wants to, you know, we should plant now. You know, now is the time to plant the wheat and everything like that. So who's going to come and help, you know, prepare the field? Everybody's busy. So Henny Penny does. Then, okay, now it's time to plant. You know, who wants anything like that? Nobody. You know, they do it themselves. Then, oh, it's time to weed. Nobody. Time to harvest. Nobody. Time to, you know, how you say, you know, make it prepare and grind it into flour. Nobody. Like this until, you know, cook it. Nobody. Ferret it. Nobody. Time to eat. Everybody. Like that. So, like that. You know, if they want to comment on the puja, you know, there is a temple there. They can do artik. Like that.
And usually after Janmashtami, only one or two puttari dressing the deity, and you know, this
Yeah, when the artik's going on, nobody's there. They're all the prashad.
Yes, yes.
Like that.
And expressing the appreciation of prashad.
Yeah. So it's like, you make all this whole thing. No, it has to be at this time, it has to be this, happening like that, and they're never there. This is the fun. Know what to do. Part of the pastime. So that's the difficulties. These things come up. They're temporary issues that come up and are really important for everybody. But the rest of the time, nobody worries about it. So it's just what's topical, you know, today, what's going on, what's catching the flow and the internet and all that. But otherwise, then there's the standard things that are there. You have the essence. You have that's there, and then from there, then you build. And there will be uniqueness. You know, people that are. Their whole life has been dedicated to deity worship and all that. They've been doing these things before, you know, people that are trying to make these decisions even knew about chanting Hare Krishna. Right? And so if they're going to come in and control these people, then how is that appropriate? Hence, bureaucracy needs leadership. And without leadership, bureaucracy is... You know, Chanakya Pandit mentions and Manu mentions is a big problem. No leadership, big problem. Because they always take advantage. You know, their idea, they go into a place, see something that's stupid in a place that nobody's trained. Why isn't there training? Why isn't it going on? You know? So that's the thing to address, the training. Not making it so people can never make that mistake even though they're not trained. Why not train them?
It is similar that the training must also bring the mood.
It has to bring the mood, yeah. Yes. So that's the mood. The point is there's a mood in worshiping.
Yes.
And so when that's there, then that's the important thing. Because you see, all these things, it's a mood.
Yes.
The Lord Chaitanya, that mood of tasting and all that, it's a particular mood. So Vrindavan's a mood. And so that has to be understood. And you see, the Acharyas are very careful about it. So yes, you have to be careful that people don't do weird things. But at the same time, is you have to discern between just some temple and then senior Vaishnavas that were trained by Prabhupada.
Yes.
You have to make a distinction. If you don't, then that's a disqualification. You know, like that. Effectiveness of management is part of the process. It's not the central core. You know, or as we were saying, it's not the, what do you call it? The bindu, the vital drop, you know, that makes everything work. You know, it's not that, no.
You need to see it before.
Yes. So, they do that, yeah. So that's the thing. So you have to see what's going on.
It seems it's always more and more in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, in the course also. It's a question of always finding the right balance, the right mood, the right attitude, the right consciousness.
Yes.
It's always more and more on the quality side.
It's the quality of it. Because that's the whole thing, is Rupa Goswami is attracted to Krishna because of his qualities. You know, it's talked about Krishna has, you know, his 64 qualities. The jiva has 78% of that. You know, so 50 qualities are common. You know, it means we don't have to have the common qualities that we create universes and stuff. You know, Krishna can do that on his own quite fine. You know, so these aspects, then qualities are the thing. So there must be how good that quality. Since it's for Krishna, then you have to see that the quality is good. And so you take those areas and focus on them and develop. Like that. So it has to be seen. So there is a mood, there is an attitude, you know. And so then we see, what did Prabhupada, you know, do and that. But you have to catch that mood. Then the form of it makes more sense. Because sometimes you see one place is this or that. Like we were discussing the other day, you know how you have the circles and the artik. So for the lamp, and Hari Bhakti Las puts it, you know, 4-2-1. Yeah. I mean, it can also be 4-2-3, but 4-2-1, either one of those. But 4, 2, and 1 make how many?
Seven.
And then it's 7 times around. Mm-hmm. So in Prabhupada mentioned about the seven, you know, about the body and then around. Mm-hmm. It's coming from that Hari Bhakti Vilas aspect. Right? And so then that's how it works. But then it's also, you have to then see, Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions that's for the lamp. That's not for anything else. Mm-hmm. Right? Because Krishna doesn't like, I think someone mentioned the other day, they were quoting from, what is it you're saying about he doesn't like smoke? Is that you?
No.
Who is telling me?
Chaitanya.
Yeah.
Huh?
Chaitanya. Yeah, there's something where one devotee was, you know, one of these ones that's in the temple, one of these ones who can talk to the deity, I think it's like Bharadwaj or something, he says, so, you know, what is it in that you don't like? He said, smoke. So he doesn't like smoke in his face. You know, the dupe is there, but it's not in his face. That's why you don't offer it to the face. You know, the lamp you do to these things, but the incense you just do around, you know. Or, you know, some nice kind of thing like that, but not in the face. You know, flowers are at the feet. You know, so you want to do 7 at the feet. The conch is above the head, so 7 above the head, because it has its place. So of all the numbers, that's for lamp. You know, so then you get that. Then you have a standard. And it's very easy and straightforward by what Krishna likes and what the function is. You know, so then, you know, you either stick with that. Yes.
It's a bit off, but once we're talking about deity worship and Kartika is over, some devotees now offer a lamp, you know, not in the altar, but individual lamp, like
yes,
in
yes,
the temple.
Yes, yes, from the temple. Yes.
And it's on a tulsi stick, and they say it's somewhere in the scripture. They can't say which scripture, but it gives 1,000 times benefit. Did you ever? No. It's a small stick like a match,
put the cotton on it.
Huh?
Yeah, I can't say. I know that it mentions that when the body is burnt, when there's tulsi on the body, then, you know, it's something very great. When you make offerings, then tulsi has to be on there. So it may be that there's something mentioned somewhere and you can do and all that. But the interesting thing is on that is, you know, it's one of those things. It's not, it doesn't seem to be a major, you know, aspect. It's something, if it's there in the scripture, then it's something that can be done. But it's not that it has to be done. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that if someone else is just having a little pradeep in the lamp, it's not that he's any less devotionally getting benefit.
Well, that's what they claim. They say it's 1,000 times more means you're getting less.
Yes, but 1,000 times more of what? And for who?
Of benefits to one who.
But what is the benefit?
Well, that's the question.
So that's the whole point, is that it's a matter of, is it, so it's a nice thing, we don't want to say that, but the point is they're only looking at it, its benefit. Does it say 1,000 times more pleasing to Krishna?
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's just, yeah, because the point is for us, it's not about the benefit. It's about pleasing Krishna. So that's the whole thing, is they only heard benefit, 1,000, you know. Is that why they moved to Mayapur? It's 1,000 times the benefit? Are they staying because of the 1,000 times the benefit?
Yeah. Purushottamas, Kartik, Bishna Panchaka, all benefit. All about benefit.
But what benefit?
For me.
Yeah, that's what I said. But it, that's the important thing. It doesn't matter what the benefit is as long as I'm getting it. As long as I'm getting it, then benefit is good. just because you're throwing it in, that part of the Purushottam Mas, Kartik Mas, there's one more month. It's Magh.
Oh, yes. It's coming.
Yeah. You know, that's the January, February, the coldest time. Yes. That's when you're supposed to be, you know, it's just like you bathe in Purushottam, you're supposed to bathe in that month also, and in Kartik, then you get the full benefit. No.
They're not here.
They're not fanatic, come on.
Too much benefit, no need.
Too much, just, you know, head gonna crack benefit, you know. So, that's the thing, is that people take things individually. So that kind of thing you control it. But the point is, you don't start, you bring out what's this thing? What is the actual thing? If it's there, like, you know, before was there something that, oh, this is there, it's in Hari Bhakti Vilas. You check with so many people from Hari Bhakti Vilas, they've never seen it. It's not there. You know? So then you check those things back. If there is, then what it is. And then make it known. Educate people. You know, and if it's not against the things, then it's not a problem. But it's not that, you know, you go in the morning to, what do you call it? Set things up for the Tulsi Puja, and when you come, then there's no Tulsi left, and then, you know, because everybody, you know, went and broke branches to do their lamp for the. Yeah, you have to avoid stuff like that. Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is finding that balance, that it's a proper. The attitude's proper, it's about pleasing Krishna. You know, is there, you know, something in our scriptures, is it there in our traditions? It might be in other traditions, but something, you know, just like the Ekadasi Mahatmya. All those things are true. But the point is that we follow it because it's pleasing to Krishna. That's why. Not that, you know, if you do this, you get a son, you this, you'll become, you know, king of the world, this will become, you know, like that. You know.
Your relatives will be liberated.
Like that. Yeah, relatives will get liberated. King of the world, then you need what do you call it? A ticket on a boat, right? And,
well, there's a lot of things that Prabhupada never introduced that are being introduced now.
As long as it's something that has been referred to, like you see it in the Bhagavatams referring to it, he mentioned about the following, the padati that Kesha Maharaj gave. It's something that's in there. You know, these things, or it's something that we're already doing, but, you know, you emphasize it more, then it's not a problem. But if it's taking from other lines of sampradayas and this and that, it may not be so important as a general thing. You know? You have to also know why they're doing it, what's the background and all that. You know, so there's uniquenesses, what they do. Like, you know, the curtains, you know, Bunky Bihari, they open the curtain, they close the curtain. So we don't do that. They had a problem. The deity left. That's why they do it.
Yes.
You know, like that. So if one day you come and your deities are out on the street in the Hari Nam and stuff like that, then you start doing it. But if they're not, then you don't.
In some temples in Braj, never put the fruit on Krishna, always at his feet. So why do you do that? Because if fruit, Gopis come, he's off to the forest. He's staying here, so we don't get in his fruit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's, we don't do that, so whatever, they can do that. We appreciate Hari Bhava, yeah, why not? Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing, it has to be seen from a very nice, is that you have the rules, but at the same time you have to see that what rules you're following are balanced. Otherwise, if you overdo on one side and less on the other, that's one of the things that you see in the padatis. Different ones, you know, from different places. Like, they'll very much emphasize a particular aspect of the puja. And so then that's why then it has that balance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he gives in his, you know, home worship, it's a balance. Nice balance. So then you want to see that those aspects are there. And if something matches someplace nicely, they can do it. You know, you can't say something that is tradition is not tradition because you don't want people to do it. you have to see is that if it is and it's working, then that's there. You know, so then they could only do that, you know, let's say offer that tulsi, then if they're here in Mayapur, where there is tulsi, they wouldn't be able to do it in Tallahassee, maybe. You know. So, you know, have to see. But they should, you know, try to figure out is how is it more benefit. So unless it's pleasing to Krishna, then... I mean, ultimately it is. You know, if you're following the Shastra, it's pleasing to Krishna. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, if you're doing... It's just like he gives the example. Let's say it's time for the sandhya, for the Gayatri. The purpose of the Gayatri is the prayer to the Lord to be engaged in the service. And he says if a lecture is going on and you're absorbed in that, you wouldn't be inclined to chant your Gayatri. Because the purpose of the Gayatri is already being served. So therefore, after, then you'll chant, or before. You know, you'll make some arrangement like that. But you'll see some that it's, no, it's got to be on this. So, you know, we're having the Sringa Artik or even the end of the Jayadwani, and there's people sitting there facing east and that, chanting their Gayatris, and all the big Brahmins are sitting there. But the point is, you know, why you would be doing that at this time. You know, that might, you know, you can do that in other places, but when the sun comes up at 4:30 in the morning, then, you know, here in Mayapur, you might not want to be doing your Gayatri during Mangalarti. You know, so you have to see is that the different places there's going to be some uniqueness like that. You know, here in the morning everything's so early, while on the other side of India it's later. It's like at least a 45-minute lag in timing. So for them, like, they have later programs. Like, we actually, elephant procession, these things, we have it early.
You know? It's dark.
It's dark, but it's still early. So we're like finished by 6:30 or something. Other places, they start the things in the evening and go late. You know, because it works there. So each place is going to have its unique kind of thing. Srila Prabhupada. This is further explained in the following verse from the Ujjvala Nilamani, Anu Bhava Prakarana 41 of Srila Rupa Goswami, 214-180-186. Srila Srupa Damodar continue. May the sight of Srimati Radharani's Kila Kinchida ecstasy, which is like a bouquet, bring good fortune to all. When Sri Krishna blocked Radharani's way to the Danagati, there was laughter within her heart. Her eyes grew bright, and fresh tears flowed from her eyes, reddening them. Due to her sweet relationship with Krishna, her eyes were enthusiastic. Then when her crying subsided, she appeared even more beautiful. Agitated by tears, Srimati Radharani's eyes were tinged with red, just like the eastern horizon at sunrise. Her lips began to move with jubilation and lusty desire. Her eyebrows curved, and a lotus-like face smiled mildly. Seeing Radharani's face exhibit such emotion, Lord Sri Krishna felt a million times happier than when he embraced her. Indeed, Lord Sri Krishna's happiness is not at all mundane. So it appears that the Sahajiyas might have something wrong. Right? Footnote 13. This is a quotation from Govinda Lilamrita 9:18. Right, so when they go deeper into these things, they're not going deeper into physical stuff, they're going deeper into the emotions. Because if you don't catch the general kind of emotions and explanation, and that you're, you know, find that right, why would Govinda Lila Rita be there? But, you know, it's generally it's looked at, oh, what physical things happened, and that's the higher. No, it says here a million times. Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy, and being absorbed in this happiness, he embraced Srup Damodar Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Srup Damodar, please speak of the ecstatic ornaments decorating the body of Srimati Radharani, by which she enchants the mind of Sri Govinda. Being thus requested, Srup Damodar began to speak. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were very happy to hear him. Sometimes when Srimati Radharani is sitting or when she is going to Vrindavan, she sees Krishna. The symptoms of various ecstasies that become manifest at that time are called vilas. Srila Prabhupada, This is described in the following verse, taken from the Ujjvala Nilamani, Anubhava Prakarana, 39, 214, 187, 188. Srila Swarup Damodar continued, "The various symptoms manifested in a woman's face, eyes, and the other parts of her body, and the way she moves, stands, or sits when she meets her beloved are called vilas." Swarup Damodar said, "Timidity, jubilation, ambition, respect, fear, and the characteristics of the left-wing gopis are all ecstatic symptoms that combine to agitate Srimati Rajarani." Srila Prabhupada. This is explained in the following verse, which is found in the Govinda Lilamrita, 9.11. 214.189.243. Swarup Damodar continued, "When Srimati Rajarani saw Lord Krishna just before her, her progress stopped, and she assumed an attitude of opposition. Although her face was slightly covered by a blue garment, her two starry eyes were agitated, being wide and curved. Thus she was decorated with the ornaments of vilas, and her beauty increased to give pleasure to Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Srimati Radharani stands before Krishna, she stands bent in three places, her neck, waist, and legs, and her eyebrows dance. When there is an awakening of the various ecstatic features on Srimati Radharani's face and in her eyes that are appropriate for a charming feminine attitude, the Lalita ornament is manifest." So that's another of the 20 ornaments. When the bodily features are delicate and expertly curved, and when the eyebrows are very beautifully agitated, the ornament of feminine charm called Lalita Alankar is manifest. Footnote 14. This verse is from the Ujjvala Nilamani, Anubhava Prakarana 51. Because we see as we have these different elements that are there, but then when you combine them, then you get these unique flavors. Right? You know, it's just like we see in the drama, that you have all the elements that are there, how someone stands, the facial expressions, the gestures, the voice, the tones, everything like that. Then you combine those and then they have names for those. You know, you use a certain number, then it's this, and then bigger than this, and so many different aspects. So in here is that the tasters of rasa, the scholars of rasa, then they know this combination makes this. And so that's what you're bringing together, all the other things together to get this, like that. So then they come out. So these ornaments then are very, very nice. When Lord Sri Krishna happens to see Srimati Radharani decorated with these Lalita ornaments, they both eagerly want to meet each other. When Srimati Radharani was decorated with the ornament of Lalita Alankara, just to increase Sri Krishna's love, an attractive curve was manifested by her neck, knees, and waist. This is brought about by her timidity and apparent desire to avoid Krishna. Right, so these beauties are coming out by all these different feminine characteristics. You know, so then that's the thing. But the point is just to increase. I mean, she knows what she's doing. That's the expertise. Is that the feminine nature will show as if it's just happening. It's just, you know, just by chance. But they know everything, what they're doing, how they're doing and everything. Yes?
And when it describes about the kinds of nature of women in Bharat Muni Snati Shastra, he also describes about superior, middle and inferior types. And on that, you know, Jwaranilamani Rupa Goswami comments that superior nature woman means she always thinks about the pleasure of the beloved,
right,
and whatever she does. But and that means she's always then the natural mood is she's always submissive, cool, and then yeah, like that. Then Rupa Goswami comments that, but we see Srimati Radharani and all the left wing gopis, they're completely opposite of that. They're doing all those
just to please Krishna.
So we should not make a mistake.
Yeah, so that therefore that's the, I say, utama of the utama. Utotama. Right? So, yeah. The flickering movements of her eyebrows could conquer the powerful bow of Cupid. To increase the joy of her beloved, her body was decorated with the ornaments of Lalita Alankar. Footnote 15. This verse is quoted from the Govinda Lilamrita 9:14. When Krishna comes forward and greedily snatches at the border of her sari, Srimati Radharani is actually very pleased within, but still she tries to stop him. This ecstatic attitude of Srimati Radharani's is called Kutamita. When this ecstatic ornament is manifested, Radharani externally tries to avoid Krishna, and she apparently becomes angry, although she is very happy within. Right? So that aspect is another, right? You know, the bringing out at this point is that happiness, but trying to avoid. Well, then the Lalita is just very, very beautiful. Though it's not necessarily that, you know, you're doing that to please Krishna, but it's not necessarily that it's, as we said, it didn't. The word submissive was not brought out there, right? But it's just to please Krishna, like that.
What's the Lalita Alankara?
That was the one of how she's standing in threefold bending form.
Yes.
Like that. It's like sometimes you see some of the old deities, I think maybe Indradyumna Maharshi's. The old Radharani, she has her leg crossed just like Krishna, but his is this way and hers is the other way. You know? Like that. Yeah. The point is it's bent here, the waist is not formal, it's straight, it'll be out, the neck will be also towards Krishna and like that. So that kind of aspect is there. That's the Lalita. It's very graceful and all that, and very, very subtle like that. So these are the ornaments, you know. So when you say that, many times you see the ornaments that she's wearing. I don't know if it'll come up in here, but I think there's one place where it mentions she takes a bath in this and she's decorated with this ornament. They're all ecstatic symptoms. But at the same time, there'll be an ornament there.
Right.
Ramananda Sambha. Oh, that was before. We already went through that. We went through that. When the border of her sari and the cloth veiling her face are caught, she externally appears offended and angry, but within her heart she is very happy. Learned scholars call this attitude Kutamita. Footnote 16. This is a quotation from the Ujjwala Nilamani, Anubhava Prakarana 44. Although Srimati Radharani was checking Krishna with her hand, internally she was thinking, let Krishna satisfy his desires. In this way, she was very pleased within, although she externally displayed opposition and anger. Srimati Radharani eternally displays a kind of dry crying as if she is offended. Displays a kind of dry crying as if she is offended. Then she mildly smiles and admonishes Lord Krishna. Actually, she has no desire to stop Krishna's endeavor to touch her body with his hands. Yet, Srimati Radharani, whose thighs are like the trunk of a baby elephant, protests his advances and, sweetly smiling, admonishes him. At such times, she cries without tears on her charming face. In this way, Srimati Radharani is ornamented and decorated with various ecstatic symptoms, which attract the mind of Sri Krishna. It is not at all possible to describe the unlimited pastimes of Sri Krishna, even though he himself describes them in his incarnation of Sahasravarna, the thousand-mouthed Seshanaga. So it's impossible, but he's describing them. But he's unlimitedly describing them. So at this time, Srivas Thakur smiled and told Srup Damodar, "My dear sir, please hear." Oh, okay, so this is going to go into the next conversation about the argument about the, because this all came up because of the anger and all that of Lakshmi, and then it's going off into that mood of Srimati Radharani and that where they're being not so easily available.
Mm-hmm. So this is taking place in the garden. Right?
Yes, yes.
Now
during the Haripanchami.
During the Haripanchami. Yes. Now, who is in the garden? Just a selected few, or the all of them?
I would think right in the garden there would be a certain amount. You can't have everybody in the garden.
Totally.
But Lord Chaitanya, because they've been given the... Maharaj Prataparudra has given the order that Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they can be around for these festivals. Just like when Jagannath was coming out, they could go inside. Because there's some area that he goes through to come out. So inside, that's where so many things are happening.
Now, during those 9 days, he doesn't go back to Kashyamusa's house. He stays in the garden.
It appears so. But it mentioned that that.
Yeah, previously we read that they camped there.
Some trees staying under. Yeah, because also at that time then the weather is, you know, it's warm, it's pleasant, so you don't have to worry. So yes, they're camped out there, you know, and then from there they can go take bath in the sea or like that. So.
Also, in Jujuma Saroa is right there, so they,
okay, they can take bath there.
They so usually went
over there to bathe. Yeah, so they take care. You know, they have their prasad. You know, everything's right. Yeah, so that's that chanting, dancing, taking prasad. That's what's being offered. You know. Okay, so we'll stop. We'll continue with the, you know, so we don't. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.